Hello, hello, and welcome. I am Nick Korn.
And I'm Ryan Truitt.
And this is the Leaku Studios Podcast Freeware Game Review number 3. One Must Fall 2097.
So, I believe I said this before, that I've been playing Pokemon Pearl. And the other day, I had my first, versus experience with another actual person. This person was sometimes host Brian Slevin's little brother. And I got rocked.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't really, I'm not really beat up over that, because Pokemon's not a game of skill. It's a game of grinding and, you know, stat management. And, you know.
Which is why I really don't want to get back into it.
He had been playing for, I don't know, his thing said, 50 hours, and I had, 12 hours. So I was like, okay, whatever. His dudes are 30 levels ahead of mine.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't care. But it was fun. We did a little trading afterward. I gave him a Graveler, turned into a Golem, because I wanted this, Sneasel thing he had. Might have been a bad trade, because ice shit's weak, from what I hear. But yeah, that's what's new with me. I had my honor taken from me by an 8-year-old.
So, I found, quite by accident, this game called Frets on Fire. Frets on Fire is an open-source Guitar Hero clone. So, I've been playing a lot of that, and I'm sure that will be fodder for another podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But if you want to check that out now, you can go ahead if you like Guitar Hero. If not, wait, and we'll tell you about it. So, that's all I got.
All right, then. There's only the two of us today, so we are moving on to our main feature.
Which is One Must Fall 2097. Now, this game was originally released... When was it released?
It was commercially released in 1994.
Right, it was commercially released. Now, a few years ago, back when One Must Fall Battlegrounds, the sequel, came out, they released it as freeware.
Yes.
So that means this is a fully... A game that was sold in stores that you can now... get for free.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And this is along the lines of such games as Star Siege Tribes and the original GTA and some other stuff, I'm sure.
Meaning those things became freeware. This is nothing like those games.
These were games sold in stores and are now available for free, which is awesome if you ask me, because I'm a fan of a lot of old stuff.
So, we were talking about One Must Fall and how it's cool because it was released... freeware style after it was released commercially. You've heard that 4 times from us already.
Right. Now,
the history of One Must Fall is kind of weird because a demo of something called One Must Fall was originally produced, I think in 92, after the success of Street Fighter II, where you had two characters who were basically, color inverse of the other. So they both look like Ken or Ryu, depending.
It doesn't matter, they look the same.
And you had 3 moves, Punch, Kick, and Hadouken Fireball thingy.
Which, seriously, if they released a game like that now, I would love it, I swear. But, then they released the actual game, and they did release a demo for it.
Yeah, that first demo never saw the light of day.
Yeah. But then the demo they did release had 2 fighters and 2 robots. Because one of the neat parts about this game is you can choose your robot and character independently. Where the character you choose changes your endurance, agility, and power stats, whereas the robot is basically the moves you have.
Which was pretty, it's kind of good for its time. I mean, that sort of can...
Yeah,
it's not really, incredibly complex, but I mean, it's more so than, we were just saying Mortal Kombat came... It came out right between Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, and... I don't know, we both think Mortal Kombat's complete butt.
Well, I mean, it was, fun to play back in the day, but I was, 7 at the time, and I was like,
yeah. This
is a thing. I like things.
It's ooh, there's violence, and when you punch the guy, blood comes out, unless, you're playing on the Super NES and sweat comes out.
And the only time I ever managed to do a finishing move was on the pit, because all you had to do was an uppercut.
But we haven't really talked about what this was yet, so...
Yeah, okay. So, I'm going to get the manual and just read from that. Because I have to. I have to. I'm sorry. The year is 2097. Friday. You've waited for this night since you were a child. 15 years of training will be used tonight. Your future career, the main prize. Your eyes begin to shut. You blink a few times, trying not to fight the medication. Finally, your eyes begin to close as you lose consciousness. Metal! You can't believe the feeling! Your eyes open, but they're not your own. You look at your hand and flex it into a fist. You strike the fist against the opposite palm and it sounds a little like two trains smashing together. You realize you'll never get used to jacking in. The feeling of power you get from suddenly becoming a few hundred tons of dangerous equipment. It is no longer blood you feel pumping, but synth oil. Your eyes now show you heat dissipation factors, mental strength, weapon power, damage scale, and some other figures so complicated you know to ignore them. Even though you no longer have blood, it feels like your pulse is climbing at the clock over the door near 00. The door opens, the crowd cheers, the game begins.
This is a game about giant robots kicking each other's asses.
Which, if you haven't noticed, is one of my favorite things ever. Shotgun is also one of my favorite things ever.
So, this is a fighting game where you pilot giant robots.
And they kick the crap out of each other.
I said it's a fighting game.
Because they... What? Yeah.
It's not like a fighting game where they pick roses and dance.
It's not like a race. It's not like a racing game where they kick the crap out of each other, because that would be IGPX, which blew.
Yeah, I guess.
So I heard. Let's try this again.
All right. This is a game where giant robots kick the crap out of each other.
Because it's a fighting game. Because otherwise you would never see that coming. Seriously.
But they do it with in interactive environments with all sorts of hazards and a pretty good variety of both robots and pilots, both of which affect the game.
All right, let's start with the robots and pilots. We already told you can pick them separately. Now you have the white-haired chick who you don't know her past, and her name is Angel, and
ooh,
whatever.
Very mysterious.
You have the Native American fellow with long black hair named Raven, who's the ass-kicking bodyguard of the boss character. And then you got the young guy named Christian with brown hair who looks like Ryu, and he's like, I'm gonna win!
What about all the other people?
Screw them.
Oh, okay.
There's old guy who's one of the first guy to build these robots. There's young girl who like is fighting because her dad got killed because he was working on a secret project. Who cares? Nobody cares about the people in this game. Not even that one guy who only has one eye, and you later find out he actually put his brain really into a robot rather than just transplanting the thought pattern, whatever.
Or whatever.
Right.
Instead of matrixing it.
So like I said, who cares about the characters? We're talking about the robots.
Yeah, because there is quite an interesting cast of robots.
Yeah, it's not just like Big Robot 1, Big Robot 2. These aren't Gundams. They got creative.
They are very specific. They kind of borrow a lot from the Super Robot shows. They all have these special moves where it's just like...
Yeah. Like each robot has a theme, which is named after, or perhaps it's nominative determinism in action.
For example, there's Pyro, and Pyro has flamethrowers for hands.
He's got flamethrowers for hands, flamethrowers for feet. I'm pretty sure his head is a flamethrower.
There's Katana, who's got motherfucking blade hands.
Motherfucking blade hands! My favorite character in the world!
Then there's, I think, Kronos.
Kronos, who, like...
He, like, throws time bolts or something.
Basically, he hits you with time particles, and you stop, and then he can just do whatever he wants to you. Or, on the other hand, he can just, like, sort of teleport through time at you. I never played as him because he was kind of stupid looking.
But with the robot designs and the powers they have, you can practically imagine, like, if there were actually people piloting them, they'd be screaming out super moves and everything.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the Jaguar, which is your basic,
it's a mech with legs and arms and fists.
And eye lasers.
And eye lasers.
Tiny wussant eye lasers.
Then there's a couple more. There's the Thorn, which has, like, elbow blades, kind of like the Guyver.
There's the, there's, like, a dragon mech.
Oh, yeah, the gargoyle.
The gargoyle.
Fly.
He's got wings. And then there's the flail, which is really interesting. Because he ain't got no legs, he's got wheels. He's got these tiny little arms, But from his shoulders, he's just got, like, two giant ball and chains.
Yeah.
Maces.
Flails.
Spikes. Flails. One of his attacks is just spinning around a lot.
We call that that thing from Last Starfighter. The Death Blossom.
Ooh. I used to watch Last Starfighter. I want to watch it again.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
Really?
I saw that episode of Clerks, the animated series, where, you know, Randall gets the high score in Pharaoh, so he's recruited by aliens to be a slave to build their pyramids.
It's like I got the idea for the movie The Last Starfighter. You'll see. Oh my god, you mean I'm gonna be a spaceship pilot? No, if you recall, the point of Pharaoh was to build pyramids.
And he's like, I can't move this thing. This thing weighs like 5 tons. Oh, so says the man who got 10 million points in Pharaoh. So humble.
Oh, we gotta do that one too.
Oh, okay.
Right. Ugh. But back to OMF, I guess. The environments have hazards.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of interesting.
Basically, there's like 6 arenas. There's the power plant, the desert, the arena.
The arena.
One of them is called the arena.
Oh.
The pit, the fire pit, and like the spike factory.
Yeah, some place where it's like a dark alley where tentacles come out and stab your robot. It's weird.
Yeah, so, and on some of the maps, they just come in randomly, like on the desert, like ships just flying every once in a while with machine gun fire.
That's pretty cool.
And then
in the fire pit, I believe there's like this glowing orb that appears sometimes.
Right, and it just sort of floats around, and if you punch the orb, fire will spring up and attack your opponent from below.
Kind of like the POW block in Mario.
Yeah, actually. And then the electric plant,
which is probably awesome. My favorite, because I play as the Thorn, which throws people, and in that level, the walls are electrified, so if you throw anyone into it, they're pretty much fucked.
Yeah.
See, it kind of has a blend of like static hazards like you might have in Mortal Kombat, like the spike pit and everything, and then, you know, things that will actively try to hit you, like the fighter planes he was talking about, or the
fire pit or whatever.
The fire pit and the spiky tentacle level, which is still kind of creepy.
Yeah. And then there's just the arena, which doesn't actually have any hazards, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right.
Or fortunately, if you like that sort of thing. I don't know.
So, basically, you pick your place, you pick your pilot, you pick your robot, and you just beat the crap out of each other. Now, there's combos, and there's special moves, and there's just fighting moves. So, it's sort of like a standard fighter in that sense.
Yeah. It's pretty... The fighting is pretty typical for stuff of its time.
Yeah, but I gotta say, we made a comparison between this and Mortal Kombat because they came out around the same time. I think this game is a better game than Mortal Kombat as far as the engine goes.
Which, I don't know. I don't really have a lot of experience with that sort of thing aside from disliking it.
Oh,
but I don't know. I played some as a kid.
Yeah. I used to play the shit out of the demo when it first came out because it was my house was one apartment on the floor, and my aunt's house with the other apartment on the floor. So I would just go next door every day, sit on my aunt's computer, and play this. And she would think we're spending time together. But I was like, whatever, just give me robots.
Wow.
I was a selfish little kid, by the way.
This game, it probably won't tear your family apart.
No, because then we would actually play together when she had her Legos.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, Legos. We should talk about Legos sometime.
Oh, we should talk about... I don't know. We got to talk about Brick Wars.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about Brick Wars.
Right. Anyway. Let's see here.
But aside from the versus combat, which we were talking about, there's also a rather... more depthful. But, yeah, rather more in-depth...
Intriguing?
I don't know. Something. Single-player mode. Where you can actually customize various aspects of your robot. You have to, like, purchase new models and stuff as it progresses.
Yeah, basically you start out, they give you a Jaguar, and you can pick an avatar, and you're just base stats everything. But then there's like a simulator where you can like test fight an opponent, you can fight them for real, you can get, you actually have to pay for the loss in vitality to your robot, so you fix the damage. There's, you can upgrade either character stats or power for like your different attacks, you can buy new attacks, you can change colors. There's multiple tournaments that you can enter in that mode. Like, you can start with the Open Tournament, and then you move on to, like, the Northern Classic, and, like, the World Championship, and, like, the Raven's Revenge. So, it's kind of interesting. And this is in addition to the standard, like, story mode.
Really? It has just a normal, like,
yeah,
go up the list, fight all the robots mode?
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
Which, that's actually the main mode. This tournament mode is actually a separate thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And one of the things that I really like, actually, about that, the arcade mode, is whenever you, when you finish your fight, it'll give you, like, a little news announcer type person just coming on, and he's like, "The fight last night was awesome. Raven really tore into Christian and threw him against a wall. He'll be spending a lot of time in the shop tonight." But then what they say actually changes depending on how the fight occurred.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only, yeah, like, five different phrases, but, like, you know, they mix it up enough that it's cute.
Yeah, if we didn't mention this before, the giant robots are fighting for public entertainment. This is like a televised sport.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool setting.
Yeah. That's actually something... That's actually why this game is really important to me. I just love the whole aesthetic. Like, this is why I liked IGPX before... When they did the little miniseries before they actually released the final cut that turned into a series. This is why I like G Gundam. This is why I like...
What was that other game? Like, Crash TV? Where it was like a game show, but you were just, like, running and gunning through all these rooms fighting cyborgs and stuff.
I never actually played that.
Oh, it's pretty good.
I think you're... Smash TV.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd kill the big boss, and a guy would come up and be like, "I'd buy that for a dollar."
Yeah. But I love the whole idea of, you know, this is the big sport. You know, screw football. Giant robots.
Yeah.
Which is basically my view on life anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that they don't televise those robot fighting shows anymore.
Yeah, like Robotica and or BattleBots.
Robot Wars.
And Robot Wars. Why was BattleBots on Comedy Central?
I don't know.
That was cool, though.
It was pretty funny to see robots kicking the shit out of each other, though.
That's true.
Oh. There's still a lot of places that, at least on the internet, that I've found that, like, sell parts for that sort of thing. Like, there's actual, like, weight classes and stuff.
Yeah. No, it's still a big thing, but it's mostly about, like, college technical design classes.
Yeah.
Although, one thing that I thought was really cool, they developed this robot that has self-balancing sort of things. Like, it's used for cargo transportation because it's just four legs and a platform. But they actually, like, this thing was walking, and somebody actually just went up and just, like, kicked it sideways. And instead of falling down, it just sort of stumbled a bit, got back up, and kept going. Like, it didn't even fall down. It just auto-corrected.
Cool.
It's smart. What were we talking about?
Giant robots. Fall.
So, what else can we say about this?
I don't know. Just that, you know, remember, this was, like, a fighting game released in, like, 1994. You've got multiple modes and... You know, a tournament progression thing where you build stats and stuff in addition to just pretty decent fighting.
Yeah, and overall, it's just a fun game, I think. Plus, if you like the idea of, you know, giant robot fighting instead of football.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is just sort of a cool thing.
So, why should you play this?
Because it's fun, because it's got giant robots, because it's a well-built fighter, especially for its time.
Yeah.
If you thought Mortal Kombat wasn't good enough, but you liked that era, try OMF.
All right.
Try OMF even if you do. Try OMF if you were displeased with One Must Fall Battlegrounds, which was the sequel to this, because that one...
Kind of lackluster.
Yeah, the engine was not nearly as solid, although the fact that it was 3D was kind of cool. And they changed... It was like, I don't even care. We're not talking about that. I don't want to talk about it. Too many bad memories. Oh, Mommy and Daddy. What?
All right, then.
Yeah, so...
So, One Must Fall. Go out and try it. I don't know.
It's free. We'll put the link in the in the show notes, which can be found at www.leekustudios.net. As usual, feedback at something in front of at leekustudios.net.
Yeah, add whatever you want. If you got something funny to say, put it there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that
would add some flavor to it.
Yeah, because now there's three different ways you can express yourself. The subject line, the
actual content,
and the email address.
All right.
Although I don't know what will be blocked out by my spam filter. Let's say nothing.
Let's say nothing, and if we don't get back to you, it's just...
We lied.
Oh, okay, you're going to just put it like that.
Well, because then we could also be lying about us lying. See what I did there?
Done here.
Okay. Podcast is over. So, where were we?
I don't know. Maybe you want to keep that in for mom's basement cred, because, like, we're in a basement and your mom just came down here.
Totally mom's basement cred. We here at Elite Crew Studios are hardcore when it comes to nerddom, usually.
Not really.
Yeah. We're just hardcore.
No, not really.
I think as far as the fighting engine goes, this is a much spectacular game. Much spectacular?
Much spectacular.
Maximum percent.